Hun har vært klarsynt hele livet og hatt veldig sånn, god kontakt til stjernenasjonen egentlig bestandig. Og hun jo kanskje mest kjent i Australia som en sånn stjernekommunikator egentlig. Men de reiser jo rundt i hele Australia egentlig som de eneste som jobber med sine faktisk på det nivået de gjør da. Han hun har fått litt merke sammen. Så de jobber jo nå med å starte et slags senter, mer et sånt ranch da i Australia også. Så, men de jo et ettertaktet på det for det etterhvert. Og den, Peter har jo skrevet flere bøker. Om fenomenet og så Greta har vel ikke skrevet bøker så likt enn det, har du det? Ja, han har det, han har det men hun jobber jo også som innenfor healing og den terapibiten også hun var jo på skole igjen nå og så videreutdannet seg enda videre på det, så
Og de huser jo gangst da i to eller tre måneder sånn, de var jo på tur i Australia, vet du
ja,
i fjor
så på der så nærmere
Nej, men det jo vi sitter I fanget på
den. Nej, du sitter, så har du så trapp på den som
mitt. Der.
Nej, det ikke
noe. Jeg ser ikke hjelpe på som jeg
Jeg har fått streikfunder, jeg skal lære meg at det var en plass
der. Så jeg ikke til Greta, jeg har vært litt sånn starsitt siden hun var liten.
Ja. Der blond eller brunnet nå?
Veldig alene.
Der blond igjen nå.
Hun så også veldig alene om ting da. Hun følte også så veldig alene om ting, og
så ting, naturlig
fra hva
så
var
jeg
brunett,
så
jeg
hentet
ikke
igjen
der. Hun
er
brunett. Hun
var
brunett. Hun stiller opp, hun ikke forventet. Det kvinnes privilegium, det.
Ja, det på bilen, stakkars gammel mann. Bra. Yes, nei, skal vi gå inn da, så vi ser hva det gjør. Ja, det det
Hi, how are
you?
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Let's see, so that
we
can have
you. Yeah.
Ah, you're beautiful today.
How was it?
Yeah,
it
looks
great.
Okay,
how are
you? Yeah? Yeah, it looks
good. Have you okay?
Checking the sound, sorry.
Oh, okay. Hello,
everyone.
Hello. Hello.
We had major sound issues with James yesterday, so just checking.
Yeah, it was interference almost all the time, so we checked different kinds of possibilities to game on, and so we can hear him. So.
Okay.
He said
and
that...
Is it working for you today?
Yes. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah.
If you break up, we have to do what we did with James yesterday, to switch to FaceTime, but we can try. Yeah, that's great. Sanda, we are so happy to have you on board. We had a beautiful day yesterday, and a very nice meditation in the end. And today is going to be also an amazing day. But first of all, could you say something about yourself and the work you do for a start?
Yeah, sure. All right, can't you explain how long I've been doing this for? So for me, you know, seeing auras and seeing different beings and feeling, you know, connected to the earth and to the different beings has always been something for me. So it's something that I've grown up with. I didn't really start doing this, I guess, as a job or as work. It was probably about 15 when I started to do readings for people and then sort of like more professionally around probably our early 20s. Yeah. So for me, my main thing that I work with is the clairvoyant side of things. So always seeing different things. You know, a lot of information comes through when you look into someone's aura and you look into the colours and what the colours represent, because the colours represent different emotions, different things coming into their life, different beings around them you can see also within the aura too. So I work a lot with doing aura drawings and drawing different ETs and communicating with the different beings that are around people. And I see it more, I guess, like a soul reading. So it's to, you know, help the person to get on the path to do what they came here to do. So that's really my mission and my passion is just to help others, you know, come to an understanding or to align their energies with doing what they're supposed to be doing while they're here on Earth.
Great.
That's great. Just so you know, Soretta, I'm muting our microphone when you are talking, so that's why you can hear us, but it's better for the sound for you guys. So, yeah. So really good.
Okay. Oh, and I have to mention also, I have a background in natural medicine as well. So I studied an advanced diploma of kinesiology, and I'm also back at school studying now. I've gone back again. I'm doing a diploma of beauty because I'm really interested in the natural medicine side of anti-aging. Because I don't know about what it's like in Norway, but in Australia, we have so many young people, you know, even like 20-year-olds wanting to go and get Botox and to get all of these poisons and things. And, you know, with my background in natural medicine, I've always had an interest and having worked in one of the top spas that we have in Australia as well, I have a real interest in tying in natural medicine. So it's kind of trying to, you know, I guess capture part of, you know, that industry and provide an alternative. And at the same time, it's looking a bit of spirituality in there as well.
Oh, great.
It's really good. I think we have some of the same problems here in Norway also.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And sad. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Soretta, you have prepared something for us. Should we just start asking some questions?
Yeah, sure. And I work well that way. Have questions. But yeah, I did actually pick three cards just before we started as well, just to give us like an indication of the energy and like what my beings and guides wanted to work with today. And it's funny because we got the Ascended Master card. I'm not sure if that picture comes through.
Yeah.
But it's a picture. This is my deck of cards that I tell to you. They're called Sirian Star Cards. So this card in particular, it says, I call on the Ascended Masters of Light, Love, Guidance and Wisdom. And I ask that they actively participate in my life because that's a really important thing. We can have, you know, all these guides and beings around us, but unless we actually, you know, invite them and making sure that you're only inviting the ones that are positive, the ones that have that unconditional love, which I'm sure everyone knows that in the audience as well. So the second card that we got was the card of abundance. I'm just going to move my little light, right? Relates not just to, and it has it imprinted with energy. So, you know, a symbol will speak to the unconscious. So that's what these cards are designed to do. So it says, abundance is your birthright, expand your belief system around abundance in a positive way. So this is more like, you know, abundance to do with, like, on a spiritual level, that we have all this access and information just sitting there, and it's about us tuning our awareness and the subtleties and our spiritual senses to be able to pick up on this. So it's almost as if we're existing, and there's a whole like spiritual Wi-Fi out there that we can attune to and pick up on. And that's a lot of the reason why we have so many, you know, electronics and other signals, you know, radio signals, trying signals, trying to bombard us, so much trying to fracture or break up that spiritual Wi-Fi that we have with us naturally. And the last card, I thought they all linked together quite well. It was quite funny. This is the card of intuition. And it's really, really connected with the heart. It's not just connected with, like, the third eye or the crown chakra. So this is, like, intuition connected more with the heart. So it says, access the answers of your heart and let your intuition guide you to make the best choice. So this is really about, like, speaking with the magnetics of the heart and using the heart as a sensor, because I think it's really important to have not just like good, you know, mental intuition or mental sense, but to have good intuition of the heart.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there's also the intention of this conference and this meeting is the spiritual approach to life and the extraterrestrial contact. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was very enlightening, because we were talking about the cards you picked. These are the things we were talking about, actually. Everybody was talking about these things, so I can hear the audience recognizing that.
Yeah.
When we picked the cards, we were like, yeah, we talked about this. These are the topics that are very important, and we talked about, so it's really funny how you picked it.
Yeah. And it's so funny, because that's what I love about working with cards. Like, I love looking at the aura, and I love looking and communicating with the beings that are, you know, around someone's aura. But at the same time, the card is sort of like confirmation. And when I work with the cards, a lot of the time, if I'm working one-on-one with a client, I have the card facing down, we talk to the beings, and we tune into those energies first. And then we pick a card, I hover my hand over the card, so using psychometry, which is like a sort of like an empathic feeling or a vibration that you get from these cards. And you can do this with any deck as well. And it's funny, because you start to get images and start to receive all of this information. And then flip the card over and it sends the same message. And it just keeps putting me away every time. Even sometimes the symbols and things of the beings project and you flip it over and that is that symbol on the card.
Oh.
It just, I think the beings realize that, you know, in the earth plane we need a lot of confirmation. We don't just sort of like take on things, you know, when we hear them once. Sometimes they need to like bombard it and get it through to us.
So you think it's very important when we work with contact with different beings that we will ask for the confirmation also? Does it think that helps we do that?
Yeah, I think it does. It helps to really like cement it and bring it down to like a level for us as well.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like on the other end of that, it's important to us to fine-tune our subtle senses as well. So I've got a lot of information in my book that I've written, The Soul Star book. Got that bit of glare happening here. So in this one, I've got techniques for clearing psychic senses, and it helps you sort of connect with your home star. But what I really love in it is it's got like the actual tools. So I've got a lot of acupuncture points in it, which talking about like electricity and Wi-Fi and things before, our acupuncture points in our body kind of relate to the greater acupuncture that's out there, you know, on a spiritual level. So I've just got like little photos with, this is a very photo of my early 20s, that it would fit this way. I could, you know, show the exact spot. So the way that I've always seen the psychic senses is connected with the sinus points. So in the body, if we talk about spiritual anatomy, you have a butterfly-shaped bone, the sinuses, and that's called the sphenoid bone. There's beautiful pictures that demonstrate the tawny black and white in the Grey's Anatomy books, which are these massive books that you can get that have detailed hand-drawn black and white pictures. But when we look at the actual shape of it, and we look at sacred geometry, the shape that we have, and we can't play as a physical computer, and anything that we receive on a, you know, spiritual level or psychic level is sort of like a software. So we have the computer hardware and we have the software. So looking at the computer hardware side of things, and the butterfly shape, butterflies represent transformation. So we have tools for transformation within us on a physical level. So it's really interesting that we can, you know, assume this, and the more that we last light for these images. And we can do that in a few ways. One of the best ways that we can do is through meditation and visualization and, you know, clearing and projecting, you know, beautiful golden light from there. And it's sort of like a hollow space. So it's one of the only free-floating modes in the body. So it really does, if you're looking at singing and looking at toning, you know, it really does get a beautiful resonance that you can vibrate through there. So that's another way that we can work with that area and get that sense to switch on. Another thing that we can do is really look at diet and lifestyle. So one of the main things that kind of comes up the sinuses and this area is dairy. So possibly looking at, you know, elimination diets and seeing, you know, cutting out dairy helps. Both my partner and myself are vegan. And I think I read somewhere that you guys are on, are you on a vegan diet as well?
Yes.
Vegan as high frequent as possible. And
exactly.
More and more, I think we've been vegetarian for almost 20 years and vegan the last 7, and the last year more and more raw. Following the new Kirk, and she says that at least 50 or 75% should be raw. It's a lot, but.
And it's funny how you mentioned the sinuses, because I had a lot of problems with my sinus infections, you know, in my lungs and in my sinuses also. And I thought that this is wrong. So that's when I was a vegetarian. And I just connected up and you have to go off that diary, I was told.
Yeah.
And I did it immediately. at that same time a day. And it cleared it all up, and I haven't had any infections or clogged up the nose or anything. So,
That's pretty good, you know, that you're essentially intuition as well, because I think that's so important, because that, like, a lot of the time nowadays we will look for outside confirmation. But it is good, you know, to listen to your intuition and to, you know, listen to the messages and to give things a try. But yeah, definitely, like what you were saying with raw food, like I'm such a big raw food advocate. I, you know, phenomenal differences. I feel like when I'm on full raw, that my whole body is breathing. It's not like my lungs are just made breathing. It's like I feel breath in every single cell within my body. The messages and clarity, you know, when I'm doing things, is so crystal clear and so sharp. It makes a world difference. You know, people are interested, or, you know, like wanting to tune in, or like plugging in like the psychic senses, even to try for like a week. And you notice a difference within. Sometimes it can die. You can notice a difference just doing like a raw food diet. I've been doing a lot more high raw to get over this cold that I've had. And it's just one winter here in Australia. So I thought that I caught it off. Everyone else in the house had got it, and at my school everyone had it. And I've been lucky to only have it for just a day or two. So it really can minimize the amount of time that, you know, that you spend, you know, trying to get over these things. And that thing that's important too, with the psychic senses, is color therapy. There is so much significance, and I feel like so much of the future technology, we should be looking more into the color therapy, because Edgar Cayce was one of the famous psychics that predicted that might be one of the technologies for healing for the future. But also, like in my studies with beauty therapy and things too, it's fast becoming a healing modality, not just for anti-aging, but also like scar regeneration, acne pigmentation. There's so many different applications that we can use colour healing, but I think if we can concentrate it and use it on the acupuncture points, we're really getting into something magic. Questions? Feel free to jump in anytime.
I was just thinking about what you said, because for me, the understanding and knowledge about the living and the happy lifestyle and food is also really a big disclosure, I think, because you remove so many of the clogging of your system, both physical and emotional and mental. Can you say something more about the importance of clearing and cleansing in the connection, I think, with the
Yeah, definitely. And even looking at, because everyone is different. So some people really, you know, run their best when they're on like high fruit. For me, I seem to need a balance of greens. I feel phenomenal if I'm doing really high greens, so like lots of green smoothies, green juices, and a small portion of fruit. It's really just finding out like what works for the individual. But definitely like doing detox and things like that. Like if we look at the gut, and we look at the intestines, and you can have, say, if we're one from a normal standard, like World Health Organization diet, we can have things that are compacted and in our intestines for up to 10 years. So that is, you know, it's not going to necessarily come out overnight or even within 1 year. So it's important to look into, you know, doing colonics and doing enemas and things that are going to help assist breaking up some of that old stagnant matter. And there's also people out there that are doing their own individual research. One man in the raw food world, his name is John Rose. He's actually weighed everything that came out of him when he was doing the detox process. And about, I think, 5 or 6% body fat added to him when he started the detox. But he still lost 20 pounds of compacted old fecal matter. And you think about, like, us carrying that around and thinking about, you know, a lot of important things happen within the gut, and it relates so much to our feeling sense as well, and to our well-being, and how we feel emotionally. If we can clear that out, and you guys have probably felt it too, like during the raw food side of things, you feel like a new person, not just on a physical level, but emotionally and spiritually. It just it can change it.
Yeah, it's important to understand. Yeah, sure. Very good. We have a question, especially about the feminine contact aspect. I believe it's really, really important for the time we live in to embrace the feminine energy for better contact and for I think the prosperity of being nice.
Yes, could you just talk a little bit about what your vision or on what do you think it is about the feminine energy and where is it going and what is it all about and the shift we are in now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I've noticed, and there's not too many of us looking at ET UFO fields that are like filming in, getting out there with cameras and, you know, like really getting hands on, it does seem to be a real masculine energy that dominates the field. So it's good to see other people like you, Tatiana, out there that are, you know, really like forerunners and really working hard to get the message out there, and especially this side of it. And even like my partner Peter and James Gillingham as well, they really are, you know, males in the field that bring spiritual element to it, which I think is the whole reason that we're having contact is about the spiritual side of things. It's not just like the nuts and bolts, you know, the telecrafts in the sky. A lot of the stuff that we get here and that we film are light crafts or light ships. Some of them are even beings that are flying their own Merkaba. And you could see, like, one of the videos, I'll just see if I can get this to work up here.
Yeah.
One of the videos that I got for filmed. Sorry, I'm just looking through my slides.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I found it. So, this is my first time doing screen share for the site. But this particular being, you can actually see there's a being standing inside the Merkaba, or inside the Pearl of Light. So you can see like a black armor, a dark armor, someone standing up inside that.
We can't see it.
We can't see it.
No, we can't. It's not there.
Put it back.
Oh, it's okay.
No.
So.
Because
we can hear it though.
We can
hear it, yeah.
Well, if anyone does want to see any videos, they are up on YouTube. So that one was from the 15th of June last year. But yeah, I might not be able to recap the whole screen, yeah, I think one of the things that that females bring to the contact arena is the, I kept thinking about this the last few days, and the words that I kept getting come to me were subtlety. It's that we're able to attune and kind of lean into a subtlety that perhaps, like with the masculine side of things, they're more the external and more like the outward in a sense. Whereas like the female is more like the inner and the intuition, and if you look at it in Chinese medicine, it's more like the yin. It's like the softness. And, you know, part of the message that I got, you know, even coming back to 2 years ago with being a female in this field, is that I don't have to be outward. I don't have to be, you know, sort of full on and crazy like some of the men are. part of the power in, you know, in the female is holding that softer feminine side of things and really, you know, helping to bring that aspect to the world, helping to bring in the messages that we get from the ETs and the messages of the unseen ones as well. And I think it's also, you know, it's interesting that cameras are picking up things like this as well now, that we're, you know, being able to film orbs and being able to film fairies and, you know, some of these things we've got on our, on my website, on my partner's website, on YouTube. So if anyone wants to see orbs, fairies, things like that, it's all on there, UFOs. And a lot of this too, I get reminded by things. So I have my team working with me when I do talks, so you can sort of look up for like I'm having communication. So one of the things that they're talking about as well is in one of my favourite books, it was written by Rudolf Steiner, and it's called How to Know the Higher Worlds. And in that, he talks about people that have you know, been born into this world that do have contact going, or they receive messages that are unseen, or we'll see like geometries and layers and things just appear in the atmosphere or in the air. And not everyone can you know, can see or perceive that at the same time. But he talks about the, you know, we might have last work to lead up to this, or even lifetimes of work to, you know, to get to the point where we receive this. But he talks about one of the ultimate goals is being as conscious in the unconscious realm, so in the sleep realm, while we're sleeping, trying to get to the same level of awareness and a level of being awake in the unconscious as what we are in this world. And I think it's, when I look at it in this day and age, you know, if he was here to see the way that we live in the, you know, the daytime and the waking life, he would perhaps say that maybe you're just as unconscious now in that side of things. So I think it's trying to find a fine balance, but it's also, you know, doing things in your sleep life as well to try and trigger that unconscious mind and to really, like, train yourself to get into the subtleties. So, you know, while you're asleep, just saying to yourself, okay, is this a dream? Am I awake? Am I asleep? And then, you know, perhaps going about and having an experience that you might like to have in that dream state. But I think it's also good to, you know, like when you see something when you're awake in the physical world, say you see like a flash out the corner of your eyes, it's good to be able to ignore the shut your brain. Because a lot of the time we'll have so much happen, you know, our senses are processing so much going on, thousands of things happening at once, all little messages all around. And that's even without the technology and without all of the modern day environment that we have. So if you see a flash or you see something at the corner of your eye, you need to say to your brain, okay, I just saw something. Because the more that we can put our attention and our focus on these subtleties, the more that our brain and the synapses that are connecting and the electricity within the brain will start building bridges that go, okay, I want more of this. So it's really the more that we can do to tune into these subtleties, so the more that we meditate, the more that we, you know, have a pure, healthy diet, the more that we're building and gaining this energy for it. And there is, you know, different supplements and things that you can take as well to increase this receptivity to it. So looking at, you know, like the high-frequency superfoods, looking at monatomic gold to really energize and work with that light body. So looking at herbs that work with light body as well. Homeopathy, this is another thing like the colour therapy and I've got one here, little aura sermons. So like little you know, bottles of like herbs and light and essential oils, everything that works on frequency we can use to build this light body. And you think about not that you can see the video that I just showed you, but talking about beings in their Merkaba and then traveling. You know, they are light beings, and that's essentially where we're heading back to. And I think that's part of, you know, I guess, like the feminine role too, is to remind people, like, why we are having this contact and why we are seeing these things. Is they're reminding us that we are there and they are us. And without us getting back to that beautiful subtle side of life.
Well, thank you, sir, for bringing that up. It's very important. So yeah,
thank you.
So with the essences and the have you mentioned it in your book?
Oh yeah, so I've got a few different like essences that you can take that work for certain things. So like pine essential oil is really great for anyone that's experiencing homesickness, in the sense of, you know, feeling like they've come from the stars or come from somewhere else, and the earth isn't exactly the first time, maybe they need to help for now. Also jasmine is another beautiful one. And that can be jasmine essential oil worn on the body or as a perfume. When you smell the jasmine essential oil and rose, it takes you back to like a sense of being connected with the source. So it's that real, it really affects the heart and the psyche and the emotions. But you can also have them as flower essences as well. So when we have something as a flower essence, it sinks in and absorbs on an etheric layer or etheric level. So it's working much more with the light thing. And if we can put these things in our mouth and breathe in them, and that's really helping to cleanse and work with the light body as well and energize it.
I wonder, so that when you and Peter have been working with the contacts with other dimensions and beings, is there any message that, you know, keeps on popping up that would be beneficial for all of us, actually? Is there something that main things? Do you have some main things that you could share?
So what they
Go ahead.
I speak with your feedback on these things. So one thing that has been consistent probably within the last year of contact, because things do tend to happen like within groups, like the messages, I noticed probably over the last year that they started to really talk about the ETs. You know, every time we would have like a fireworks night, or we would have like a contact event, or even tuning in doing star language. So for me, it's also some people will call it light language. That's been something that I've had all my life as well, is this sort of like ongoing feeling or like language that I could hear and that I felt like as part of my soul that I would speak. And that to me is connected more with the planet, the star of Sirius. Even though there is like other dialects as well, like Arcturian and Pleiadian that I do speak to. But for me, like, when I speak that, when we do the Sky Watchers, we'll do that as part of like a little meditation. And one of the messages that keeps coming through is definitely the connection with the Earth. It's, you know, talking about the Earth every single time. That's like the ET's main message. And it's just been so long and like loud and clear over the last year. Even to the point of talking about like the different nuns, you know, in our local area that are wanting to make contact. And it was funny, I was doing yoga one night in a yoga class that had other people in it too, out of the local gym we go to, and I could see the mountain outside, and I could feel the mountain call to me. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to dedicate this yoga session to the mountain. It just, that was what I was decided to do. And the mountain spoke to me and said that, you know, that we'd be gifted or, you know, given some land to work with to really start to, you know, come back into communion with the Earth and start to like regenerate and work with the plants and work with, you know, kind of getting back to how things are supposed to be, living close to the Earth and living naturally. And we've got an opportunity that's coming up at the moment, and I'm seeing like everything that this mountain was telling me is sort of coming into that opportunity, and I'm just sitting back waiting like, right, I don't want to get my hopes up, but you know, it's kind of the message that's been coming over the last year. I'm starting to see more of that happen. But it's not just connecting with the Earth as well. It's a lot to do with connecting with the inner Earth things. So if we look at like all of the different dimensions, and it's kind of like at the moment, they're really, the only way I can sort of like explain it is, you know, to imagine all of these angels singing, and each of them is singing a different frequency. This is just what they're showing me now. And, you know, if we listen carefully enough and we feel carefully enough, we're able to tune into all of these different sounds going off. So it's like all these different notes that these, you know, beings are singing at the same time, and each of them is singing a different part of the story, or is singing like a different frequency or a different subtle vibration. And it's like when all of them are together, it's like all of these lights shining, almost like in a sphere-type shape, and all of these beautiful rainbow lights shining, joining together to make one big sphere. But without that, it's just like one little light here, one little light there. So I feel like we're being attuned to, you know, to be seeing part of the whole picture. And I feel like this is part of like what the message is, as well as like connecting with the Earth. And so they're really trying to reconnect us back to our spiritual roots. So if you look at this whole thing, this journey that we've had on Earth as kind of like an experiment, it's almost like we're getting to the days where, you know, the conclusions are being written at the end of the experiment, and we're really, it's like we're starting to amass, you know, all of the research, and everything's kind of coming together.
Oh, awesome. And that confirms that what I also experienced, and so it was a good confirmation also to hear you, and Dave was talking about it also, so wonderful. Awesome that you also mentioned it. So, precious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I don't know, it's my hot tail.
I also discovered that I talk star language. It's pretty yeah, and people could connect to it. And there was one in the audience asking me if I could play it for you and see if you could get something from
it. I'd love to hear it. So yeah, that'd be exciting for me.
I can get it on my phone. I just recorded it on my phone. Okay? Okay.
It seems so good to hear, you know, also, like with Facebook and different things like that, I'm hearing a lot of different sign languages around the world too, and it's so special that they, you know, that they speak to the soul, that we don't have like languages barrier when it comes to light language. That's just been a really beautiful thing to experience. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how about you, Stephen? Have you had like any inkling or feeling of speaking my language?
No, I haven't. It's kind of challenged me on that, so I was trying, but it was it was blocking. I need to work on that.
And sometimes it's like our own, you know, our own consciousness or like our, like a, you know, part of a protective thing, not wanting to do it in a way.
It is.
So being judged.
Yeah, it was pretty scary to me too, but so there was this being coming in and I just asked her, can I speak by them? She just said, don't think, just go ahead and do it. Open your mouth and do it.
Yeah.
So I was okay, I didn't have any choice, I just opened my mouth and it came. I had no control of it. And I said afterwards, oh, this was a very strange experience, so it's quite new. But I got it here, so see.
Like, you know, help them clear and like get everyone to speak their heart's message again. to be able to speak at the conference out loud. And then I saw her like walking around, and I saw different parts of the earth, and like a manifest wise woman, and her reconnecting like people back to the earth. But she shaped like so many streams and energies and vibration, like reconnecting all of that. It was like she was clearing and sowing at the same time, and it was such like loving, wise, different reconnecting.
Wow, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear it, I get all teared up. I feel it in my heart and in my throat. So
thank you.
It was wonderful. I really thank you for the confirmation. And I have some in the audience also felt the same when you talked about how you saw it and how it connected with nature. And it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, that's such good confirmation for me too. I just love the way how that works. And, you know, a lot of things, listening to the light languages and listening to, you know, the different beings and everything, it's about trusting in ourselves. And it's, we have to not be afraid to make fools of ourselves. If we're wrong, we're wrong. Like for me too, give me that. And I just have to say exactly what I see and exactly what I feel and not worry about if I'm right or wrong. And that's been a big thing, you know, about being on the earth plane here. You know, as a child, always having seen things and feeling like to a degree perhaps a hype or that it's not safe to be able to speak about things. But we are living in a time now where we can talk about these, you know, difficult things that we're not really seeing as, you know, like crazy or anything like that. There's other people out there that understand these messages and understand, you know, what we're talking about. So we are really lucky compared to, you know, 10, 20 years ago or 50 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I heard someone being in Sweden, when he started talking the Star language with his friends, they just called the cops on him and they had him taken in. And that was not such a pleasant experience for him because they thought he was just turning crazy. So I think, do you think that these kind of things, the star language and everything that's coming up now, that's really going to expand even more and really are going to be a great piece of the bigger puzzle as well? That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm seeing like such an increase like, here in Australia. And I should talk about also it's good to use like your own intuition for like when you do feel that it's safe and when it's not safe. For me, like that's always what I've gone high as well. That's almost a situation like I would go into a room and speak it because I know that it would be perceived as crazy. So it's good to, you know, really use intuition to where you are in a safe place to be able to speak it.
Yeah,
but one thing that I noticed, I think it was around 21, I started to talk about it publicly. I'll be turning 37 in August, so it's quite a while ago for me now. Yeah, so I started to talk about it publicly in talks that I was doing and also with some friends that I had. And for all of it really seemed to become so much stronger when we hit 21. I don't know why, but for some reason, age 21 is a major, like, activation for... there's some kind of, like, portal that opens, I think, for 21. But, yeah, it was about 2005 that I was on Australian TV talking about it publicly. And I did feel like I needed to hide a bit afterwards that not everyone was ready for it, even though there were so many beautiful messages come out and, you know, I had so many beautiful emails after the show. There were still, you know, some crazy religious groups and things like that saying, oh, it's not safe or it's, you know, trying to leave the devil. And, you know, just sort of like, yeah, a fear. So I had to try not to take that on. But one other thing they did do on the show that I was on TV here, they got me a sticky message at the end of the show. And this is up on my own YouTube as well. The show is called Seeking In. And it was all different guests that we have on each week. Mary Rockwell was another guest that they had on as well, the famous UFO researcher. But yeah, what they did was give me six star language, and then they aired this show and they said to the audience watching at home, you know, if they can understand what I've said, then please in the show producers, and then I'll recap the next week to see if that was what I said. And what caught the show was, out of everyone that wasn't joking, you know, some people would say to me, oh, she said, beam me up, Scotty, like Star Trek, or things like that. But 89% of people that actually emailed the show sincerely actually got it correct what I said. So something that speaks not just to electromagnetic mind, like our thinking mind. This is a language that speaks to the soul. And that's where it's explained, we have as such, is, you know, for everyone to relax and sort of get into the state of meditation. And it's a language that's felt empathically. So that it's something that you feel, like your soul will feel. And we can do some today if you like as well.
I was going to ask you to share something.
Yeah, we can do some now, actually. I guess why we're talking about it.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. It's not open. And sorry, what's that?
Sure. Yeah, wonderful.
I'll just close my eyes and tune in. I will do the light language first, and then we'll do the translation as well.
Wonderful.
So just using like that meditation type feel. Notice if there's any colours or feelings that you get or images. And it's okay if you can get different things too. So don't be afraid to, at the end of it, you know, speak up and say about these or that, because it's part of that. We're all building this picture, like we were talking about before, with all the different coloured lights, you know, making a globe or a sphere.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I was saying with that was all different, there were so many different types of beings and different frequencies of beings. The first one that I saw coming was like more the, like the elementals and the fairy energies coming, which is such like a world that's so close to the human world and so connected between the earth realms and the spiritual realms. And then I was seeing lots of Asian beings, all different dimensions and all different beings coming in to form like a collective and to connect with us. It was pretty much what we were saying before too, with all the different colored lights coming together to make a sphere, and the earth energy as well. But I was seeing that also being connected to like another part of the picture. But it's like that sort of ambition here on earth at the moment. And then there's like another part that will come in to connect to that. If we're looking at it like from a multi-dimensional possibility. And the heart energy was also like another thing that these energies are really working with. So it's to really lift that vibration and the frequency of the heart, and that being the main work that you need is like mechanical. So it's like that's the main mechanical or magnetic instrument that they're working with, lifting and raising the frequency.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, confirmation. I also have a lot of frequency. This being with some white light shining down, it was like she tried to connect and also soothing energy that tried to say that it tried to disarm any fear or anything that hindered the contact. So she was just meeting the several love, but she was like talking that she wanted to us to know that it's safe and it's safe to connect and we want to, you know, join and merge within the dimensions with you, and please come and meet around you. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's confirmation for me too.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Who is it? Can I just share again?
That's what I said. I think they're a bit shy.
Is early in the morning here tonight?
What time is it over there?
No, it's very not. It's almost 2 o'clock.
Yeah. We might be weak at the moment.
Yeah. I do have a question for you, so that I'm on the topic. I know that you and Peter are doing a lot of job and really important work in Australia and the world. But what do you think? What do you consider being our main task and role as individual and if also in groups with the ET contact and the shift going? Do you have any specific thoughts about our task role in the shift?
Yeah, I think just looking at it from like what Pete and I have been talking about as well. And even talking about it, like, in terms of, with me going back into study, I've really gone back into mainstream. I've been sort of secluded in my world and around the people that I'm with, and even, the school parents, because I have 3 children, so my kids are 16, 10, and 8. So, like, a lot of the parents are quite alternative as well. So, to some degree, I've created a little sheltered world to be around people that are, like, a bit more open-minded and things. But yeah, going back into like 3D mainstream, it's been a surprise just how much, over the last few years that even words like you're hearing people talk about chakras and, people talking about sound healing, things like that, like the general population's consciousness has really expanded over the last 10 years. And I would say even down to like the last 2 years, it's like someone's flipped a switch, and my partner's noticing that at his job. That's in mainstream as well. And I think that, a lot of us people, we use the term light workers because, like, it's a term that, is commonly used. But a lot of us that are doing, like, light work, we are kind of placed in different areas on the planet. And I think it's good, like, if we can all support each other, because, you don't always feel normal or you don't always feel, that you're connected and or from here to that extent as well. And that's why it's important what I talked about before with, the essences and things like that that can assist and support us, in doing our job here. And I feel like the job that we do have to do here, it's almost like we're being hidden amongst these little groups of normal, everyday people. And I think our role is to help support and wake them up with the shift that's happening. I'm just seeing that more and more. And when people are waking up, it's not necessarily like how they would wake up, 10 years ago, where it would be like a slow process. It's kind of like they're jolted into being awake because this needs to happen fast. I'm just getting them showing me like that. There's like a t-shirt saying shift happens instead of like the swear word. We are having shift happen. And another thing they're showing me too is just looking back to 2012, I had an interesting experience. It was on the day where everything was meant to happen and, Earth was meant to ascend and it was the countdown. And even though I didn't really feel that that was going to happen at the time, I still think that that was like a big shift in consciousness that even the people on the news, things like that. And I remember I sat outside with my kids on the grass and we made a crystal grid. We had all these beautiful sphere crystals and placed them in a circle. And we just felt the energy, like, just to connect with the Earth and connect with the star beings and, with the different realms. And we had this little bumblebee flying and he touched the big crystals in our little grid. And I felt that he was just, like, activating them. I don't know why, but the beings are showing me that right now. But I think the message they're trying to get across is just how integrated we are with the unseen and with animals and with nature and how we really are working, together as harmony. And if we look at the animal side of things and veganism and looking at animals as conscious living beings that do actually have a voice when they do speak another language, the amount of vegetarians and vegans that are on the planet from life, that has grown substantially, even in Australia. It's quite a barbecue nation. Always talk about meat, barbecue. It is like our highest search term, one of our highest search terms on the internet. I feel like that just shows like the level of consciousness is growing here, like in Australia, but also like worldwide too. There's so many more restaurants available. Like there's more and more knowledge out there.
Yeah.
Right. I think that is connected with like the eating side of things as well.
Yeah, I think so too. So that was also a big confirmation. That's how I was feel, that it's connected, and I see how it's growing, and it feels like it's actually a connection to the destination and to what we actually are and where we come from and what our mission here is. So it's wonderful to actually see it in physical form that it's changing and where we actually are going. So thank you for that, yeah.
And you just remind me, one of our good friends here, who his name's Ulukai Branchamari. I'm not sure if anyone's seen the videos that we've done with him and that Pete and James have done with him. He's one of the Aboriginal elders living here. We like to call them original people, but he's one of the original people and one of the spokespeople. So he's king of the Raven tribe, and he oversees a few different tribes here. He's like an emperor or an emperor would do. But he talks about like where we're heading for the future, and he's sort of pushing to more like a vegetarian, like a gender way of being on earth as well. And he says that with where we're heading, we're not going to be able to, you know, one day wake up and talk to a kangaroo and say, "Hey brother, how are you doing?" And our consciousness shifted and is changing. So he said, you know, the diet must change as well. We really do need to head to, you know, a more vegan way of life.
Yeah, it's about aligning with the frequency, you know, to attract a life, attract life, you know, in frequency.
Definitely.
I think so. It's all connected. So, yeah, very important message to share. Yeah.
And I think it's one that, you know, like I was probably more quiet about it for a few years ago, you know, not wanting to like shake the boat, not wanting to, you know, too much of the way that way. But I think it's something that like it's too hard to fight about now.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's speeding up the process. It's speeding up consciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's also reminds me that, as we were talking, discussing just before we called it up, the importance of meeting together, work as a group and with partners.
So it depends a lot on the energy of the group. Sometimes we'll have, you know, big fire washers where we might have like 16, 17 people. Other times it will be like 4 people. And it's funny, it's often when you have the smaller group that your energies are more aligned, you know, the jokes might be a little bit dirtier, a little more silly. And it's funny because the sillier and, you know, crazier we are, the more eating activity we have. Peter Ray says, they don't want to be around like a party that's boring. They want to be around someone that's having fun. And we do all get things like our events, like alcohol and drug free, like that's just not something we're into. But, you know, it's about like having the consciousness and the energy high. And it's funny, you get crafts coming and they'll scout, which is like, that's our term for, like, when they're, like, checking the energy of the group out. So they'll come flying and do, like, a bit of a circle round, and then they might, you know, sort of disappear. And what they're doing is, like, scanning the energy of the group and checking out, okay, are these people down there, like, in line with, you know, what we want to work with? And sometimes, like, you know, if they are, we'll get, you know, amazing crafts coming. Or actually just put on... I'll do the video of one of the daytime crafts that we've had, if I can get this to happen quickly.
Yeah, something's up.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So this is just a little bit under a year ago, I think, or a year ago.
There you go,
there we go. So this is the one that I was talking about before, the bees standing in the moon bar. So this is just filmed over our house at daytime. We just keep my out there. So you can see sort of like a darker shade within the pearl of light.
Yeah.
And that's actually standing up in the craft, which is like an energy craft.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's very hard to film when they're so far away because our cameras aren't made to capture UFOs. So it's really, it takes a lot of practice to get it to try and hold the deeper one as well.
Yeah.
And you can hear what when you scream.
Yeah.
So there's a still, you can see the main head, and it almost looks as if it's sitting cross legged a little bit.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is another one, like talking about like subtleties as well. This is just a picture I found on the internet. But it's from the experience that I had. I think about two experiences now where I woke up from a dream, or it felt like a dreamlike state where I was having a UFO like ET experience, and I felt like they just dropped me back in my bed. And I've opened my eyes and the roof is see-through. The roof of the house is totally see-through. I can see the stars. And I saw a craft which was exactly like this, but with different colored lights underneath, above my ceiling. And trying to check with myself, and this is what I was saying before about the importance of checking, am I awake or am I dreaming? And I jumped up out of bed and I ran to the door, just to make sure that I was awake, and just as I got to the door and opened the door, there was these flashes of light. There was a craft leaving. So it was really good confirmation for me to know that I was awake. And it's just, if you ever have those experiences where the roof is see-through, which is the beings actually projecting, and just sort of like, it's not hard for them to like shift or change vibration. And, like, if we look at our 3D physical density of houses and things here, it's so easy for them to be able to shift or be able to, change that density.
Yeah.
And I'll see there's a few stills I've got. There's, like, the one in the daytime craft as well. And
another
one.
Some really bright lights, yeah.
Yeah, and these are real Pleiadian energy, these crafts, the ones that are like the pure light, and they describe them in some of the ancient texts in the book. So, being like a pearl, they were calling it like a pearl appearing in the sky. This one was at Mount Buffalo, which is a place where he has been going since a little child, and he takes me from. And this one, let's just see this one. So, this was at night time. And we do use lasers to interact, so you can see the lasers. Quite often we'll flash them on in a certain sequence, and the cast will actually flash back in the same sequence as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you will start to get the craft like these, all of a sudden start to power up, and they'll grow to the same size as the moon. And we have satellite trackers and, other technologies, so we know that they're not satellite, but it's not the, International Space Station, different things like that. I'll just see if there's any others that are... So also we're using a 4K television camera, so the quality is getting a lot better with what we can actually buy here.
Yeah.
That's Pete, my partner.
Can I go ahead and maybe talk about the crafts? Yeah, I'm just going to get inside.
So sometimes it's like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
And it can be very, very high up as well.
Such a bright light. Amazing.
Yeah. They're really beautiful. And also, like, thinking of what we were talking about before, to do with the subtleties, the energy that you feel, like, whenever we see a craft, it's always good to tune in through the room and see, like, what you actually feel. So this was just, like, seeing a dolphin or something in the wild. It was amazing, the feeling. So you can see the clarity is getting a lot better with modern cameras that you can get.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to pause that one. And there's another one here. This is also connected with what we were talking about before to do with the subtleties. This one is a video which we call the portal opening. So I'll just let the video explain it.
And as far as you know,
yeah, so what happens if you put a double brain door like that in its mirror image? It means that there's a portal just opened. So it also means that beam can come in, craft can come in. The interesting thing about the spot where this one has opened in particular is right where Pete and I have seen like a crystal city kind of floating, which is like a Pleiadian crystal city. They also look like cathedrals of light. We've posted a few pictures of sketches and that's what they look like. Yeah, really interesting happening now.
And I was just saying, I've got a picture of one of those cathedrals of light as well that we just talked about in the video. This is what they actually look like. I don't know if that's coming through clearly, but they're like crystalline seeds of light. So they're quite a beautiful energy. And this is a picture of when I was talking about the aura drawings that I do for work before. So this is drawing the colours that I see around someone and also the different beings that are around people. So I'd like to tune in and individually speak to each of the beings. Here is another one. And so they're all very different. Some of them will have technical information on, you know, different types of technology and things as well. Some people will have different groups of beings or like hybrid children that are around them too. There's some light language in this one. And here is just like a little picture of a few of my guides that I've just drawn together on one picture. And it's funny, we were talking before about like confidence and not being afraid to speak up exactly like what we hear and things. And I found that that's changed the way that I draw. I'm getting like different beings will start to channel through. And you can really start to, this one especially actually, you can feel like a soul quality that comes through some of the drawings. The beam will actually start to channel themselves through my hand and through the pencil. And it makes it so much easier to draw when I can take my mind out of it and just and really let go. It's always interesting to watch. And here is, this is the thing that we've talked about before, the sphenoid bone. The sciences, you can really see how it's a beautiful hollow butterfly shape that we talked about. So just thinking about how vibration and frequency can impact that. Another thing that goes hand in hand with that is the pineal gland. I don't know if you can see the arrow on my screen that I'm pointing out in the center of the brain. We've got the pineal gland. And if you look here, this is like a shooting fork that's attached to this little pea-sized thing. So if you think about the pineal part of the brain and the third eye being a shooting fork, and thinking about tuning out the eye too, and what frequencies we can pick up on, and what we can choose to really, you know, tune in with. And here is some of the raw fruit that I love making raw fruit as well.
So that's the raw fruit, and all
this
like remedies and flowers, that's helped to clean the pineal gland and open up.
Yeah, definitely. And even using things like melatonin, which is like a natural thing that the body produces that helps to regulate the circadian rhythm. So that helps to decalcify the pineal gland and help to, you know, put in fluoride in the water and different things like that. It starts to calcify the pineal gland. So we can take, on a short-term basis, we can take melatonin to really help break down that and get that that calcification to reverse. But a lot of the raw food and the, you know, working with the light bodies, it's all leading up to achieving the rainbow light body. So this is the importance of like building that frequency and working with that light and that sound and, you know, attuning the body is basically what we're doing, becoming like a giant tuning fork ourselves. Okay, and this blue bean is similar to the one I was talking about before.
Yeah. And it's familiar.
Okay. Was there any questions that you had?
And was it not? Now it's time.
Okay, there's a new plant fish.
Oh, sorry.
This one's a plant in here.
Yeah.
So what I've written here is this was many years ago now, probably when I was early 20s.
And I had a dental x-ray. I was just checking my teeth out, and he said that I had he thought it was a polyp that was about 3 to 4 centimetres long, which is about roughly 2 inches in diameter. And what I used was like an ENR, an electrical device, a device to zap it. And I had an MRI, and 6 days later it was totally gone. But I actually feel like it was an implant. There was a lot of ET activity that was happening at the time. Here is a picture of some columns of light. These appeared just after I saw a craft. So they were like misty columns or misty beams. And it was interesting. It was in the middle of winter time, and the atmosphere, and this is like what we're talking about before, like with the subtle differences, and being connected more like on the spiritual level. Sometimes, you know, you notice when there's a subtle change in the air or the wind, you know, might feel a bit different. This weather went from feeling freezing cold, standing in blankets, to all of a sudden it went tropical. And I just looked over, I felt guided to look over to a bush and took a photo because I could see these columns of light. And it was right up to the kind of most, one of the most amazing craft experiences that I've seen.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got so many pictures like this, but if anyone wants to see, we have them online as well.
Great, yeah.
And have I got my screen back? Did it all work?
Oh,
it's
still stable.
No,
you
can see
it
all in a small picture.
Oh,
that
okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to work out how to unshare. Oh, nothing.
Actually, I already answered many of our topics and questions, but we were discussing with James yesterday about self-empowerment and self-mastery. You also been talking a lot about that, but I feel it's really important to really trust the intuition and stay open. Can you say anything more about your process concerning self-mastery?
Yeah, I definitely think it is, and I think you know, in the world of ridiculous, we're told a lot what we can't, like what we can and we can't do, or many particular levels, you know, not just from like government saying, you know, what we can build to living, or what we can eat, or, you know, what water we should drink, to what we should inject into our bodies. You know, we're told from so many different levels what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And I think even from, you know, family, you know, sometimes family will be fearful or scared of speaking about this sort of thing, or, you know, think that we're crazy, different things like that. I think we all need to really get back to having our own internal, like a intuition, or like a body clock or a barometer, you know, like our own internal dialogue going as to like what is right for us, and you know what our intuition calls to, or what we feel drawn to, because so many times, like, you know, you might feel called to, you know, doing a trip around the world, but then, you know, like someone might say, hey, don't go there, that's not safe, so we might not take that journey or might not have that adventure. But if we might listen to that part of ourselves, you know, we're going to be in just a small, tiny box, you know, and maybe not walk the path that we're supposed to. So I think it's so important to, you know, on a personal level, just listen to what we feel really drawn to, what we feel guided to, but still making safe decisions around that as well because of the type of world we live in. But yeah, like on your bigger level, I feel that it really is getting back to community. And I think that we're all trying to live or work to a place where we can understand what it's like to be part of a community. And I feel like there's like little bumps and things being sorted out now. You know, some people have trouble online with, you know, how others react to them or how they react to others. There needs to be that heart space that comes back to the equation as well. And I think that that's where like the feminine energy can really stepping and be a bit of a guiding light in this for, you know, like the feminine energy really works a lot with the intuition. Sometimes like the male energy can work with ego a bit, and it's not to say that females can't do that as well, but just like that seems to be like the female strong suit is the intuition. But yeah, I love James and the work that he's doing. You know, he really does bring that message of self-mastery back, and I think that, you know, we can, even though we can look up to people or look to people as gurus or that they have all of the answers, but, you know, I think a lot of people do know nowadays that, you know, the answers are within. that we do have our own answers, and it's about just, you know, trusting in that process and really following what we feel called to. But it's about also quieting everything else down so that we can hear that voice. So that's why it's really important to, you know, do the meditation and do the practice. One thing that I like to get from my clients to do when they have trouble meditating, or if they're perhaps not the meditating type, but they want to get answers from within, I'll get them to write a question with their dominant hand. So say, for example, like their right hand. And I'll get them to write the question, but then I'll get them to answer it with the left. Because that's tapping into more into the unconscious mind and more into the soul aspect. And you get that left hand to answer the question. And it's always such a surprise, the answers that come. It's often quite unexpected, but it really helps to shift in that mind chatter and that monkey mind and get into more like the soul aspect of thinking.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Very important. Thank you for sharing.
But I think it's important that we acknowledge that the big disclosure happened many years ago. It's about us now to do our job. Just listen to it.
Yeah, definitely. And also just, you know, they're describing me as well. Like, honoring the masculine energies that are really helping to support the females in this role as well. Like, that's so important. Like, if you step in, and, you know, with my partner Peter and with James as well, you know, males that are really supporting the female role and really helping to bring that balance back, because it's something that, you know, a lot of women have struggled with and the whole planet has struggled with, and we do need males to support and help, you know, to let us know that it's okay as well. But it's also up to us to, you know, to take that power back at the same time too, like to not sort of like be shy or we have a saying in Australia, be a wallflower, you know, sort of like stand on the wall and like wait for your turn. Like there is the part of us that has to have that sort of like fiery Amazonian type energy come back and say, this is not okay, like what's been happening on the planet. You know, it's time to reconnect with the planet. It's time to listen to, you know, like Mother Earth's voice again as well, and help to restore, you know, peace and harmony, and help to, like, restore, you know, where we were supposed to be at, because we have been sidetracked. You know, we've had so many opportunities for change over even just the last 100 years. You know, people talk about looking at, like, the way that the world could have gone if Tesla's inventions, you know, could have come into being and weren't hidden away. You know, we could all be living with free energy and, you know, have unlimited supply of organic food worldwide and everyone be fed and housed. So I think it's important to look at, you know, the alternative aspects and really, you know, support the people who are doing the work, you know, when it comes to the alternative solutions too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we getting discussing a lot of that because the main role is not only just to let the female step up, but also to make create the space and create the opportunity. And as James says, let's let the grandmothers run the world because they know how to do it. That's really good inspiration.
That's quite true. What an interesting world it would be.
Yeah.
I think it's a disaster if that was to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think some scolding might happen to the ones that are being a bit naughty too.
Yeah.
Do you feel this in your clients also? Do you feel that people are waking up?
Yeah, definitely. Like I'll still have some clients who come to me for. I'm not sure if they look at my website so much before they walk in, or if they just hope me through a friend. And they'll come to me for what they think might be a normal reading. And, you know, at the end of it, we're talking about entities or we're talking about things. And it's been interesting, you know, working in the role that I work in too, because I have to trust that they've come to me for that to be talked about or to be, you know, awakened to this sort of reality. And it's funny, one client that I could think of that hadn't talked to anyone about this stuff had just come to me for a normal reading. There was this being standing behind her, and he was, he had great sort of coloured skin, but not like a normal grey that you would see, you know, one of the movies and things. He had like a big, I call it like a bubble head. It was like a big bulb, and he was wearing an American style sweater, like the college ones, like for something like in the TV show Happy Days.
Yeah.
So one from the 50s, and he was just standing in my kitchen behind the client, and he had such a presence. And I always say to my clients, and you know, stay true to like what I see. So I'm drawing her aura drawing picture, and I draw this being on the drawing, and she. And at the same time, I don't know whether she believes in this or whether she's going to think this is crazy. She's sitting there like this, going, with her mouth open, and I'm thinking, oh my god, I'm really scaring her. And then she says to me, looking right in the eye, and said, that is the exact being that I saw 2 days ago, standing in my house. I thought it was going crazy, but this is it too.
This is something that we also experience a lot more now than we did before. When you meet people, just strangers in the streets, just find out talking to them, and all of a sudden they're discussing ETs out of nowhere. It's crazy. So I think it's important that the few of us that are into this, we talk about it and don't be afraid to step up and talk about it. Because as you said, trust the intuition. It's something to be ashamed of. It's totally natural and it's the only way. Cool.
Yeah, and I think also when we get together in groups and do the work, we are also strengthening each other and empowering each other, and so in that way we can grow this and can speed up the process a lot also.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's so true. And even just like what you were saying then, Tatiana, I see like wave frequency just being put out. It's almost like turning the volume up on the stereo. You know, when we get together in groups, it's like that frequency has an impact all over the earth and into the other dimensions as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to mention it. I didn't know if anybody saw it. When we were talking, I could see orbs flying around behind you.
Yeah.
So we got it on film, so yeah. And you can see a light on your right side before, and then a light orb came in on your left side. So, yeah.
I'm doing everything that you're saying. I've got it back to be in this house.
Yeah.
And my partner Peter has been like, please don't film it incorrect. We've got one video in particular that's really interesting. It's an orb that comes through the outside wall of our house. Mm-hmm. And the cat sitting on the dining table and goes like this, and watching it go from one end of the room to the other. And you can see that whole action take place.
I got inspired by the cameras they were using, so we bought one, a 4K camera, and I've been using it on the meditation room these past nights, and I had that in the IR, and it's amazing. Those orbs are very intelligent beings flying around there, and it was, yeah, so it reminds me a lot about that video we have, like, no, we got one too, weird.
It's so cool to have someone to figure that you've been getting that too.
Yeah.
And it's good to set them up in the meditation rooms. We did, Peter had just like a little handheld one we took to East Edinburgh's time, so we went to go visit James. And he had it in the meditation room, and we filmed James like with the table sweeping that he does as well. And just like the orbs that come in. And even out on the Skywatch field, like where you've been too. Seeing them like move in almost like cyclones, it's just incredible the amount of energy that's there. And I think there's, you know, the more that we spend time in certain places and the more that we like give energy to certain places, the more that these portals develop as well. Because I know that when we first moved to this place, you know, like the amount of ET activity that's grown since we've been in this house. And since it's like we're just adding to the group,
yeah.
I think the more that we work with something, the bigger the energy builds.
Yeah, that's what I've also experienced, so that's true, yeah. It's amazing.
I was just asking if you have the same thing over there.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's the beings that come in, and I have them in the film, and that they come in and they come at me, and it stops out, and then it's like they're thinking, or, you know, something is processing, and they're like, oh, okay, I think I go over here, and then they turn, and they turn again, and they, oh no, I'm gone, and then they just vanish to the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch. Yeah.
But how that can be to be able to capture that on camera now.
Yes.
And I think also the technology shows like the progression of where we are on a conscious level as well. It's like they mirror each other. Even though I think that we still should be able to have better technology. I know the government has you know, certain cameras and things that we're not allowed to have here.
Absolutely, yeah. It was really hard to get that kind of camera over here in Norway, but I just didn't give up. I had to have that camera, and I was searching for months to get it, and finally it showed up, and I said, thank you. And
it's almost impossible to get an infrared camera in Norway now. A couple of years ago, they were everywhere, but now it's almost impossible. So, now we got it. It's okay.
You know, it's an agenda behind it. It's a reason for it, so... But actually, to me, it's that I'm not going to give up because I'm going to do this, and I ask for help and everything.
Oh, that's amazing. So, no, you can't get the same cameras that James gets. We're not allowed to have the same level in Australia. And some people say, oh, it's because we've got places like Pine Gap and, you know, different areas like that, you know, different use that to spy. But I know one of the universities here in Australia, they had a camera that could see like kilometres and kilometres, like into towns and towns away. Probably, I think it was about 20 kilometres away, this camera could see. And when the university got the camera, the army came to visit to see why they bought a camera that was of such high power, because not everyone can buy that camera. But yeah, it was for photography purposes.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Some kids, I think. We're almost coming to an end for this. It's a really, really nice talk. Do you have anything to say? Really, really important. What is really important to me at the moment now is what is our role? What do we do? Do you have any last tips, any last advice?
Something that you can, you know, just sum it up with and take with us and focus on?
Yeah. That's so funny. I think we're so in tune with how like we work with this, because that's what it helps do when it's like put out there. So pick some cards to sum up like what everyone needs to kind of like take home for the end of it. And I got three cards, and I got this card that's part of home.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, which I think is so important, and this is about keeping open light in your heart.
Absolutely.
And with everything that we see like in media and the news and everything, you know, people can lose hope, and they can lose hope in humanity, and it's remember that, like, you know, so much more of us do actually want this hopeful divine plan to go through. So it says on the card, always keep hope alive in your heart, align yourself with others that feel the same. So this is again about getting that group together and others that are in line with that same frequency. The next one we've got is inspiration.
That's great, yeah. Yeah.
So this one's interesting because this is actually calling them inspiration from outside the earth.
Yeah.
So it's like the entities and the interdimensionals, you know, it's calling on their inspiration as well. So it says inspiration comes from both the inner and the outer worlds. Follow the path of the highest energy. So it's again important to use that barometer in the body, or use that soul energy to see like where it is that you need to be moving. And it's important not to let others hold you back. Or like other people see our whole stack and some. And then this one I thought was so appropriate. We've got a spiritual awakening. So ask and allow everything to unfold for the highest possible good. So again, it's like trusting in that hope and just letting everything unfold. It's knowing that all of this has happened on some level before. You know, there's other parallel lives that are being lived simultaneously at the same time. And just trusting that process that, you know, that it is unfolding and happening as the way it's supposed to, even though at times it might not feel like this.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. You are such a wonderful and beautiful soul.
Absolutely. I love to meet you both. And I heard such amazing things about you from James and from Ashley when we got to EP. I think it was the last year. And the Galactic Medicine Wheel as well, and that's just incredible what you've set up there. Just, it was an amazing space.
Thank you.
I can't ask you both first in one day.
We would love to have you and Anita over, and I would love to come over and visit you too.
That's,
yeah.
That would be incredible. We'd love to have you.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
And then you should announce to you for in the audience. I'm sure you're probably tired after a few days of
Well,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for having a good, yeah, good place, I guess.
Again, thank you so much for all the beautiful information and the light you're sharing. It's awesome.
Thank you for talking with you again.
Thank you.
Det er fin informasjon.